All right.
Hello.
Hello, everyone.
All right, this is J.A. Grimm here.
And I'm Vistilla Park.
And we're here to talk about our writing process. Now, we actually debated about how we were going to go about this because I know how I write, I know how I go through my process of writing. But still was not so sure.
My process is kind of nebulous to me. I like using that word a lot. I don't know why. Everything just kind of pops into place, if that makes any sense. Probably doesn't. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. It just kind of like, boop, and there it is.
Well, right. I know with me, it's more of a, because I read a lot. So there'd be periods where I'm not writing anything and I'm reading and I'm like, oh, that was cool. I could probably use that in the story. Or, oh, that's neat. I want to use that. Or what if I could use that? And I tend to do that a lot with mythology because I love mythology. And speaking of, and I like fairy tales too. And I just bought a book from the store about Tales of Fairy Tales. So I'm going through that now and seeing what I could pull through there. You tend to get on me because you're like, why aren't you writing? Why aren't you writing? Why aren't you writing? Cause, and I usually tell them it's because I'm like in like research. I'm in research mode, basically. And it ends up happening. I end up going long stretches of time where I'm like not really doing anything but like reading, whether it be like novels of other authors or if it's just like me just reading like information books or how to like better writing and mythology books or history books because I like history a lot too. So I end up reading those books or like skimming through those during the time that I'm doing this. And then I'll probably come back and edit some things in to my story that like, oh, I found, or I could use and things like that, of that nature.
See, the thing is, I'd probably be a lot less on you once you get your first book out, because I kind of want us to go to start going to conventions and
selling books
there. So
yeah, I know. But I want the thing about it is he gets on me a lot because he'll be like, well, why aren't you writing? And there's sometimes where I just don't feel like putting my pen to paper. And he'll be like, well, even if you feel that way, you should write. And I'll feel like, no. I said, because I want my writing to be the best that I can give. And if I don't feel like writing, but I'm going to write anyway, and it's trash, that kind of reflects on me as a writer and as an individual. So I'm just like, no, I'm not gonna do that today, and I'm not gonna subject other people to do that to other people. And I feel like also a reason why, you know, I haven't put up a Patreon or anything like that yet is because I feel like my writing as of right now isn't up to snuff yet. I'm still trying to fix it and do as other stuff.
I mean, yeah, I have a Patreon. I don't think my stuff is up to snuff yet, but I want to put my stuff out there.
No, because I believe that if you're paying for something, you should get what you're paying for.
I get that. However, I've seen it happen time and time again where people will start paying, and this is, if you like doing this, this is cool. If you agree, if you disagree, that's cool as well. I've seen it where people will support artists who are still in the process of developing what it is that they're doing. Because they like seeing, I don't know, it's something about human nature that we like seeing things develop and change. I mean, there's some people that are impatient and they just kind of want it right now, but there's a lot of people out there that are willing to watch the author grow, and they kind of want to support them while they're growing. So that's my two cents on that.
I mean, I don't really want to be the best writer in the world, but I want to kind of be okay. So what I do
wanna
is
I want to be a top seller. I mean, I'm not going to say that's my main goal for writing, but I'm not going to say that it's not my goal. My goal at the moment, though, is I just want to see my book in the bookstore somewhere.
I mean, I do too, but I think the main thing for me is I want somebody to go, if my book ever comes out to print, I want somebody to go pick up my book and be like, I want to live in Emporia, or I would love to be a mage, or I would love to do this, and be like, well, this is something important to them. Just like, you know, me reading, you know, when I was younger, reading Harry Potter was important to me, or me, even as an adult, you know, reading A Song of Ice and Fire, I felt like once I got that book in my hand, oh, it was over. Like, I didn't, like, watch TV, I didn't do anything. I sat in my room and I read those books. And I even if it's just, like, a couple of people, then that's fine by me, because guess what? I've given them something. And part of my writing process is to be able to refine my skills, as in writing, as in coming up with deals, making sure that, you know, my characters aren't flat, that they're mostly faceted, that you could empathize with the villain, or you could see that even though this person's the hero, that they have this many flaws, or that the world environment is surrounding it is, you'd want to be there. And my part of my writing process is to go back and read and to see, like, how it was done before I did it. What are some things I can improve on? And am I doing the best that I could do for it? So sometimes I do breaks from actually writing to go ahead and research and look up and...
Oh, I'm not going to lie. I have those moments where I don't want to write anything either, but I kind of make myself do it just because I know if I don't do something, then it kind of goes away. That's just me.
No, actually, for me, it's kind of reverse. What ends up happening with me is I get an idea stuck in my head. And I'll have that scene. I don't know if anybody has had this happen to them, but I have a certain scene stuck in my head. And I listen to a lot of music. So as I'm listening to music, those scenes could be like, those characters could be playing in my head, and I could be acting out a whole scene, and I could know exactly what I want to write, stuff like that.
You pull a tight Cubo.
And then what ends up happening is that I go put pen to paper, and then it's like, well, dang, I can see it as visually as I can see it in my head. But as soon as I want to put pen and paper, as of right now, it becomes, I have to go back and refine it. I have to write it a little bit of time, and then be like, oh, yeah, that's right. Then I want this, and then this. And I think that's a problem what I'm having with Rain right now, is because I can see how the story is going to progress in my head. I could totally see it. But as soon as I start writing it to paper, I'm like, is that how I pictured it? Is that how I imagined it to be going? Is that how I imagined it to be, you know, how I imagined it to go? So, and sometimes I think it is important to take, you know, like, breaks and stuff like that. And also, for me, I know if I don't feel like writing, or if I feel like I'm not going to do anybody justice right now, I won't write. But I will also do something to, like, improve my writing. I'm not, like, standing still and not doing anything towards my writing. I'm always researching. I'm always looking for something.
With me, I've kind of gone and, because even though I've never really read any of his books, I only watched that one movie, I did read a interview with Rick. I'm going to mispronounce his name. Rick Riordan.
Wait a minute. You only read one of his books?
No, I never actually read any of them.
Are you serious now?
Yeah, I just watched the movie. As much as I understand the purpose of his books and why he created them, the stories to me feel very childish. And
okay. Can I put something out?
Kind of.
Yeah. He is a young author. And two, are you sure you're not just salty about the last book he came out? Because I know how much you love Norse mythology and you love Norse gods, and I guess you didn't like how the characterization of one of the gods ended up being like.
Yes, I did not. All right, you're going to get me started on this nonsense. Okay. For those of you who don't, this is, I guess, the only second podcast, but to inform all of you, my favorite Norse god is Heimdall. And when I see him in Avengers and Thor, he is awesome. He is exactly everything that he is portrayed in Norse mythology. They got him right to a T. I mean, the only thing is he probably wasn't black, but I'm okay to overlook that just because Heimdall as a character is so awesome. But when I read what his characterization is in those books, I was disappointed.
You didn't give a book a chance. You just said not. No,
I'm probably not going to read any of them. I'm just saying, I'm probably not going to read any of them. One, I don't have the time to read a whole bunch of books. I still have yet to finish I'm a Spider, So What? I barely touched that.
I'm going to need you to get on that. You know how I feel about that.
You know what's sitting on my desk right now that I still have not touched? Konosuba Volume 2, Sword Art Online Volume 12, and I'm a Spider, So What? I bought Don Machi Volume, what was it, 9, like, I think like 5 months ago, or how, like, as soon as it came out, that's when I bought it, and I just now finished it.
Listen, I have a lot of books that I need to get through too. I still have Everybody Loves the Large Chest, like Volume 2. I still have
gonna buy that one.
I still have Don Machi because I bought the volume to that. I still have Konosuba, the book you gave me. I still have what else do I have? I actually have to finish up that Norse Mythology by Neil Gaiman that I have. I still have a comic book series that he's actually doing called Book of Magic that I still have to read through. So I have some stuff to read through too.
Yeah, but, you know what book I also haven't finished reading? The final volume of Ben Bova's
I have the first volume to that series that you're talking
Orion.
About.
I still have yet to finish Orion and King Arthur.
Because you were like, get this book. And I was like, fine, get off my back. This is such a great series, though. For people don't know, part of my writing process also entails him nagging me and then me telling him to get off my back.
You also nag me all the time. So you were doing it just a minute ago.
What was I nagging you about?
about the book.
Because I feel like there's some things you could probably, you know, use and like read and be like, oh, I can research this further, but you're gonna dismiss that because you don't like how a certain character is portrayed.
No, it's not. That's one of the main reasons, but I just don't like the basic story structure. I don't like how that went. And like what I want to do is, even though I don't like Because I actually read into the plot ahead of time, so I know the entire story for the new God of War game.
I want that game.
I love it, but there's certain characters that are missing from that, and they moved it around, and they moved around certain characters in that video game.
I'm pretty sure they're gonna have like I know they're gonna have like another game, another God of War game.
Yeah, they're gonna have another God of War game. But what I'm saying is they left out certain character relationships. Like they left out one particular god and moved those two together. Even though when you look at the original mythology, they're not even related at all. And
okay, there's a difference. There's a difference between you doing something verbatim, and you taking influence to inspire things like that. I think they didn't do it verbatim. Okay. What they did was they took it and they put a spin on it. That's a whole different scenario.
It's the same thing. It's the same reason why, even though I love Valkyrie Profile, when I look at the mythology, sometimes it's just kind of inconsistent.
And my thing is, if you're borrowing from things, it's not going to be as consistent as you see in the story. What you're doing is you're telling a story from your perspective, or you're telling a story from what you're saying. Just like I think the thing about mythology is that there's always a couple of other stories behind the one story that you're having. That's why I like mythology so much. Just because you know this tale a certain way does not mean that it's not told a different way. That was my goal for Emporia, to have different stories told from different perspectives. That's why I like fairy tales so much, especially when you get into like international fairy tales that are all different from the Western counterparts. Like they're the same story. You see the same basis, but what you get into is you get into like the different things that is done and things like that. And you're like, oh, like I think I was reading like a different rendition for was it Snow White? I think I told you before about Snow White. And like instead of having seven dwarves, she had like seven dragons, and she was like locked up in a tower somewhere.
See, but the problem with what they did with God of War is they left out one of the anytime I see a Norse anything I see on Norse mythology, they always leave out one major character who I want to see in a story. Leave her out. They always shoehorn her out for whatever reason, and she's such a major player. She's always such a major player. They left out Odin's wife. They shoehorned two characters together.
I know why they did that. And you know why they did that.
No, I don't know why they did that.
Yes, because normally sometimes what they do is they kind of mix the two, Freya and Frigga. They kind of mix the two.
Okay, so you knew exactly who I was talking about.
Yeah, what they kind of do is because in some versions of the story, it's not Frigga, but it's Freya that's Odin's wife. So what I'm saying
seen that before.
It was a book at the library because you were getting on me about getting into Norse mythology, and I had to look around anyway for an earlier story that I was working on. So what I ended up doing, because I was going to use Freya, but I dismissed Freya and actually did use Frigga for Mythos.
But she's such an awesome character, and just to leave her out, it feels like a betrayal because they left her out, because North mythology makes a clear distinction between those. Well, the stories I'm reading makes a clear distinction between the two, saying that Freya gets half of the the Einherjar, and Odin gets the other half. And then they had Frigga, and they had her where she's such an awesome character because she checks a whole bunch of people, and she is the only other person in Norse mythology who can sit on Odin's throne. this woman is like, it's hard to put into put in words how much of a character, how awesome of a goddess I think she is.
Okay. And for my people that don't know, this is also a very vital point of my writing process, arguing with him. Because here's what happens. Wait, because we actually had the discussion last week? I saw you last
on
week?
On our magic systems.
Okay, so what happened was is I came up with an idea. And I'll usually text him. It'll be randomly too. I'll usually text him like, oh, well, how do you think this will work? Here's him. Da da da. But it's your story. So do what you want. I don't want him to know. I look at my phone when you do that. I look at my phone and I look at something else and I look back at my phone. And I'm like, this guy is doing this to me again. I'm like, I didn't ask you all that. I asked you what your opinion was.
And I give you my opinion, but I also put that disclaimer on the end and say, it's your story. You need to do whatever it is that you want, because sometimes...
Homie, I know like, my story.
I feel like I'm dictating too much. Like, I feel like I've changed, like, I've had, like... I feel like I've said too much, and it's kind of, I don't know. I just feel like I've influenced you too much, and I don't, and I kind of want to not.
Hey, let me explain to you why I take your opinion. So what ends up happening is I'll write something, but if you are only listening to your own thoughts when you write something, you don't know how bad or you don't know how good or bad something is unless you ask somebody else. Onto the internet and ask somebody, but I might do that too. I do am subscribed to the world budding Reddit Reddit, but I also come, you know, to you because you might have a perspective that I do not have. You might see something that I don't see. Like I think the whole argument about our magic systems. I think we spent about magic system. And I'm like, and then the people were looking at us. The people were looking at us like we're two crazy people, and the Hibachi just sitting there, just like going at it. But I was just like, and here's him. Oh, well, we're not finished. I'm like,
yeah, we're not. We're not.
He's like, we're not finished.
Okay, so disclaimer that in the next couple of podcasts, we're going to be coming back to the magic system, and you're going to hear a full. You're going to get a chance to experience the kind of discussions that we have on the regular.
Because, I think, and we're going to have a discussion about his clear lack of faith and how it disturbs me so.
Okay, we'll not get on to that one because I think we actually kind of lost topic.
Well, yes and no, because it is that. Well, like we were talking about how like how we go through our writing process. How we come up with our ideas, how we write stuff. And honestly, that is a vital part of our writing process. Because you have ideas that I don't have. Or I might be sitting like, oh, I came up with an idea. Let me see what he thinks about it right quick. Da-da-da-da. And he'll say something, well, or I'll be stubborn and I'll be like, you know what? Bump it. I want to keep that particular idea. So... It's not. That's part of how, you know, I go about writing and things of that nature.
I don't know. Like I said, my whole process is kind of nebulous. I'm kind of all over the place sometimes, and it's very difficult for me to actually sit down and write a script. Or write not a script, but a notes. Outline and notes. I have a very hard time writing outlines and notes because then I'll write something and then I'll forget it and then I'll forget where I wrote it at and then it's just like, where did I write this at? And then when I go through it and then I write the thing and then I'll go back and look at it and then I'll be like, oh crap, I left this out, so I have to go back and completely redo the entire thing. And it's always such a huge, the thing that I always leave out is it's a small portion of it, but it ends up having a huge impact on the rest of the story. And it's that, like, once I forgot to mention, like, some one random factoid that's going to end up being very important later on in the story. I always do this, and it's very hard for me to write outlines.
Okay.
And the way things come up in my brain, I don't understand how my head works. I get a concept, I see the kind of where I kind of want it to go, or like the purpose of the story. I'll get an idea for a character or several characters, and then I kind of start how they interact, and then I will get the ending for the story. The ending for the story pops up into my head, and then the middle part, and then like the beginning, and then like some parts in a later part, and then I just kind of connect the dots together, and my brain is just kind of all over the place.
Okay. All right, I've had this bad habit since I was like, I'll say, since I started writing in elementary school. When I write, I tend to like, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get a notebook. I'm gonna write everything I want to be in this notebook.
Uh-huh.
But I say, it used to get on me like about this like all the time. If I don't like something, I would rip it right out and throw it away. Like rip it out, throw it away. He's like, you should keep it because you don't know if you're gonna come back to it. And that habit has like gotten so ingrained to where I'll switch notebooks. Like I have three different notebooks, probably having the same amount of information in them. But because I discarded something for something else, or I felt like that wasn't the notebook. So what I've gone to do is because of my tendency to do that, I tend to type it up after I've written it, or I'll get into a mood to where I type it up and I'll save it in a document on a computer because I know me, I'm gonna end up throwing something away. I'm end up throwing one of these notebooks that I have so many written stuff in. Like I went and I cleaned out my closet and I found stuff for Mythos, like deep in my closet, like a whole notebook for like Mythos. I'm like, yo, like And what's happening is I get a concept for a character. I build a character, I see a character, like I see what I want to do. Then I start building, well, how would this character interact in this story? Or better yet, what is the problem that has to be solved, or what is the problem that's going on? And so I think I start running on that. That's okay, then where are they at? Well, why are they doing this? The who, what, when, where, why, and how starts coming up. I start doing that. Settings start coming up. Other characters start coming up. Other characters are coming up. And I think the one thing though that I need to work on more as a writer is writing the opposite gender. I am, hopefully you know by my voice, that I am female. I am not a man. So I feel like writing men is kind of hard because I am not them. Writing them as a person, you should be able, because the people are people, but there's some things that I would not be understanding because I am not male myself. So I feel like, and I also talked to you, I felt like maybe I have too many female characters in my story because I don't want it to be a ratio where the men overdo the women or women overdo the men. I want it to be an equal balance of...
I think I kind of ended up doing that too. I kind of ended up putting... in Mystia, a lot of women in power for some reason. I don't know.
And yeah. It wasn't women in power because I am a woman. It was just like, well, I think this would be good because this is, and it ends up, by the time I end up finishing, I'm like, damn, that's another woman. it's another girl. So I have to, like, for instance, Emporia has, you know, the mother goddess and then her 12 daughters. And then you have the ruler of the whole of the capital country is a female. And then you have the first vampire is female. You have some of my main characters are female. I think Indignation was the first story where I can honestly say the character lead was a man. And I, when I was coming up with that, because it was hard because I was pulling characters from older stories and revising them for Emporia. And I was just like, I don't want to alienate a fan base because I can't do my character right.
Okay. All right. So, quick question. Who do you think that I'm better at writing, male or female characters?
I think you have a leg up on me with actually both, to be honest. I think you write, honestly, I would like to say you write better male characters than I do.
Well, I'm just saying in general, and within my stories, who do you think are better, who do you think I have better characters that are written, male or female?
That's a tough one. Because I feel like your characters have a... I want to say female.
Yeah, that's what I kind of figured too.
I want to say female. And I want... Because I want to show that I have kick-ass women and I have kick-ass men too. Men. So I realized that I do have to have some more, you know, male characters. I do have some. I just don't have a lot. And I've realized that there's something wrong with most of the male characters that I have.
Or you could just explain it away and say that for some odd reason, the male to female birth ratio is favored towards women.
No, because I actually do have a female only cult in Emporia.
See, but that's still not a problem though, because all right, let's take Legend of Zelda for example. All right, the main villain comes from a group whose entire clan or race or whatever it is are usually exclusively female. And I think they said like once every 1,000 years a male is born, but this said male is the villain of the entire story or series. So I don't think it's as much as how many you have, but how many or who gets the most amount of screen time. You may have a whole bunch of characters who are female, but if the vast majority of the people who are getting the screen time is male, then I think it's going to end up balancing out. And like I said, I liked what was his name? The main character for Indignation. I always forget his name. Louis? Was it Louis? Louis.
Yeah, it was Louis.
Yeah, that's right.
His naming choice is actually, I named him after the Sun King from France. I think it was a Louis. Was it Louis the? I want to say it was Louis the 14th. I might be wrong about that, but I made him because I wanted a male character. And for some odd reason, I think I was channeling you when I made Indignation.
Why?
I think I'll be spoiling stuff if I because it I don't know. This seems like something you would write. Indignation sounds like something.
Should I be a little concerned because that's the story where dude goes ham on everyone?
Yes, you should be.
Should I be a little concerned about your perception of me?
I would not say no.
Okay, but all right, this is something I kind of need to get off my chest, and don't laugh at me. Please, no one laugh at me, because this is like, I don't understand how this happens sometimes. But there are some times where I will forget to describe, or I'm writing, I forget to describe a character, and today, yesterday, I even realized I forgot to name the main character.
How does that happen?
I don't know. This happens more often. This happens more often than it should. I will get an image of a character in my head, and I will forget to name him and describe him. I don't know how this happens.
That's the first thing I love doing is naming characters. I have like three freaking baby books around here, and I be flipping through them like, ooh, what does this name mean? What does this name mean?
I just Google it.
I do that too, but I go to the thrift store and I see baby naming books. And I try to avoid the weird looks from people, and I have to remind people like, no, I'm not having a baby. Like,
That's how you get that problem. I just go on behindthename.com or behindthesurname.com. I just go on that website, and that usually has every name that I can think of. Yeah, I just don't bother with trying to. I have enough books in my room as it is. I don't need any more. I have an entire closet full of books, and I still have yet to finish reading a lot of them. I bought the entire collection for H.P. Lovecraft, and I still have not finished reading that.
You have that in hard copy?
Yes.
When were you going to tell me about this?
I told you about that like a year ago.
No, you didn't.
I swear to God, I told you this a year ago. I told you I bought the entire copy of H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah, so you should let me borrow that.
Yeah, but the spine broke. I don't know how that happened. I think it was just the way the book was made. It wasn't made very well. And so after repeated opening and closing, it's not like the glue that held the pages together broke. It was the hardcover spine just snapped off.
I found a book about it. Is this in Kindle? How much is it in Kindle?
Despite how influential H.P. Lovecraft is, his repertoire of stories is very short.
How short?
It's one book. It's probably about the same size as one of the last Harry Potter books.
I'm trying to figure out how I feel about that, because the last couple ones were actually kind of thick.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, if you think about the entire time, his entire lifetime, he's only ever written like short stories, and his collection of short stories fills just one book. And then when you actually sit down and read his biography, it is it's really sad.
He says really sad.
Yeah, it's sad.
That's usually what happens.
Yeah, well, yeah, that does happen.
That happens.
But, you know, I think we kind of got off topic again.
Well, you say that, but I honestly don't think so, because all this is you know, solely our insight of how we do our writing. Like, for like right now, what I'm doing is I'm looking at books, talking about, you know, how to help with writing realistic characters, since that's one of the things that I do worry about, is how to flesh out my characters. But I also realized that I should not neglect, you know, the out. Honestly, I think for my setting, I think I'm fine. I think doing that, I have the balls in my park with that. Because I think my story will be much more people driven, or let's say character driven, than say
plot driven or story driven.
Or story driven. I mean, you do have plots, but they could be more.
You know what's disappointing me right now?
No.
The fact that I am trying to write I'm trying to write a comedy, and it is failing. I cannot write comedy.
I am not funny.
This is struggle. I have every so often I'll have like a comedic line that really wasn't meant to be funny, but it ends up being funny, or a situation will, like, every now and then a situation will end up being funny, but I fail at comedy. I fail at writing comedy. I end up writing way too serious of stuff.
I'm not funny either. So, listen, if it ends up being funny, it ends up being funny. If it's not funny, then it wasn't meant to be funny. But I know that I might find some things funny, but I know as a person, as a joke teller, Amber is not funny.
Mm-hmm.
None
I think
at all.
You kind of went out of character there.
Yeah, I know. Just a bit.
Yeah. The thing is, I really wanted to write a comedy series like Konosuba. I really, really wanted to write a comedy series like Konosuba.
I don't know. I think Konosuba ended up being funny because it's what's the word? It's
You're banging the table.
I'm trying to figure out what I'm talking about. I'm banging my bed. I'm laying on my bed. What's the word? It's a decharacterization. There you go. A decharacterization of the tropes of the you've died and now you're born in a new world.
Isekai, another world story. Yes. See, that's true. It is kind of a deconstruction. However, at the same time, I don't think that's what makes it funny. I forgot who it was that I was watching. I think it was Mother's Basement, a YouTuber called Mother's Basement. And if I remember correctly, if it was him, he said the main reason why Konosuba is hilarious is because it's not so much about the story itself. It's about the characters. And you're watching a group of childhood friends be idiots together. I mean, despite the fact that they haven't really known each other that long, they are a group of friends who are just act really dumb together. You have Kazuma, who is your stereotypical idiot male character who. He's smart, but at the same time, he does stuff that's a little dumb. You have Aqua, who's the older sister, but she's really dumb. However, they both act like brother and sister. And then you have Darkness, who's the kind of like the older sister type. However, she's got that one really weird quirk about her that just like they just take advantage of it. And then you have Megumin, who is the one who's that one really weird girl. However, she can still hold her own. And when you put the four of them together, you're just like watching a group of friends just act dumb together. And I think that's what makes Konosuba hilarious.
And I think that's, you know, that goes to, you know, character, characterize,
characterization.
Yes, because for some odd reason I could not get the word out. Yeah, that goes to that. You know, you fall in love with those characters, and you're trying to see, well, and you might find something, well, that's funny, or that's funny. I am not a funny person.
See,
but when I was making Mizu Princess, the thing wasn't, it wasn't to be funny. It was to show a young girl, you know, becoming a hero. Because at the end of the, this is in more lighthearted times, when I was a bit more lighthearted. But I wanted her to be a light character. A happy character. So when I created her to be, honestly, she was hella Mary Sue-ish. She really was.
See, I have a problem with people throwing that word around. They throw it around all the time. Oh, this character's a Mary Sue. Oh, this character's a Marty Stew. However,
it was Gary Stew.
Hmm?
It was Gary Stew.
It's also, the other one is also Marty Stew.
Uh-huh.
Yes. There's Gary and then there's Marty. Anyways, point being, right, people throw those words around a lot. However, the difference between a well done one, a character who is well done as a Marty or Mary or Gary or Timmy, whoever, Stu, Sue, whatever, is context. It is the context of the story.
Well, time out. First of all, you cannot have a well done Mary Sue or Gary Stu or Marty Sue. Do you want to know why you cannot have those characters with me?
And I'm about to, go ahead, say what you need to, and I'm about to, in one word, debunk everything that you're about to say. Go ahead.
Because for the simple fact is, what is a Mary Sue? What is a Mary Sue? What is a Gay Sue? They are supposed to be archetypical characters that are supposed to be perfect in every way, that every character and their mother falls in love with them. They can do no wrong, and they can like do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do, however they want to do it, at a click of their fingers. You're facing a bad guy. This person has magic coming out of their fingertips to beat them. She's a new girl that just came to town, and all the men are in love with her. That's how that goes. She's a boring character, and that makes for a bad character.
Okay, I'll give you that. However, I don't think that's everything about what makes... You could have a... And this is like... getting into my writing theory... Part of my writing theories is... You could have that type of... Again, it comes down to context. You could have that character who is perfect in every way if the setting in which he or she is in does not lend to that, then you won't notice it.
My thing is people don't want perfect characters. They want characters that are flawed in some way because it makes them more realistic to the people that are into them. Why do you think we like characters like Jon Snow or Harry Potter Tony Soprano? Like, we like those characters because they're not perfect. They're flawed.
Let me name drop one character, One Punch Man. He, in the context of his story,
Let me tell you why he's not a married Sue. It's because there's something fundamentally mentally wrong with him. And in the general of his context, he's not the archetypical perfect character. He's the strongest character in his genre, but because it's how his attitude works. So I could say
how his character is.
He wanted to become the strongest person. He doesn't have like the archetypical hero type thing. Like he's not like he's not like All Might from Hero Academia.
All Might would be a perfect example of a Marty Stu.
No, he would not.
His one flaw is that he got hurt at the beginning of the story when he is introduced. He was hurt, he can no longer do what he wanted to do.
He's a central character, but he's not the central character. Two, what he's doing, and if you read it, he's actually phasing himself out.
He's phasing himself out
so that Deku could bring himself into the forefront. And because that is a weakness that
that's how All For One works, is it has to be passed on to the next person. Who gets passed on to, they lose that power. They lose One For All.
Well, not that in that context, too.
When you look at the character if you just look at the character in a lens and you compare him to every other character, he would be the definition of a Mary Sue. He is, except before his injury, he is a Marty Stu. Or a Gary Stu.
The reason why I say that's not valid, that's the simple fact is that you don't see him before his injury. You see him after his injury and how he's trying to hold on and how he can't really hold his form for so long.
We do see him, but we don't. We see his past self through flashbacks. However. He is still considered the symbol of peace. He is still considered we know as an audience who he is, what has happened to him. However, the rest of the world had no clue about his injury. He was hiding it. And when you look at his character through the lens of the people in the story, he would be considered a Marty Stu because of how he is as a character.
But you're not looking at them through the lens of the people in the story. You're looking through them. Honestly, you're looking through the lens of you're looking as an observer to Deku's story. That's what I'm saying. If Deku was the one that was perfect and had that thing, then yeah, I could say that. But I can't say that because All Might's not a single part. All Might is he's basically the mentor. He's the mentor to the hero. Now, my thing is, if Deku was a perfect character or a Mary Sue, he would lead All Might. But because I wouldn't say he isn't. Well, I would say, yeah, you have a point to where in context he does look. That's because he's hiding what he is. What it is that a Mary Sue or a Gary Sue is somebody who's...
Okay, here, I just looked it up. Another character that they have debating on whether or not she is a Mary Sue is Rey from Star Wars.
With Rey, I kind of see where they're coming from.
I see where they're coming from too. However, in context with the rest of the world, to us, to some people, she may feel as a Mary Sue just because she didn't earn any of the abilities that she... It feels like she didn't earn any of the abilities that she had. However, with how the entire force works, and we've seen the upper limits of some of the characters, she doesn't feel... To some people, she may not feel like a Mary Sue just because we've seen people who've had a higher skill cap. like Yoda, for example, Darth Vader. We don't, when you compare those to those, when you compare Rey to those characters, she may not feel like as she may not feel like a Mary Sue just because we know how strong those two are.
And what I'm saying is the reason why she feels like a Mary Sue to them is because, but the simple fact is that you basically tell them that she came out of nowhere to know this, even though you gave them a whole bunch of backstory about how she took training and she take this to know how to do it, and she just snaps her fingers within her knowing she has the power and she does it. But as you would have said, we have got off track. And I think we should also end it here. Because we have
one last thing. I feel like if the way that they could have gotten around that is that had they shown her acquiring those skills through the story, we probably wouldn't have felt like she was such a Mary. She wasn't such a Mary Sue. I think that's the other problem with Mary Sue's is that they just kind of show up and here I am, I'm perfect, versus acquiring that said perfection.
True.
Yeah, I think that's the other purpose is you need context for it all comes down to context. If you don't have the context for who the setting the character takes place in, seeing how they got what they have, then they feel like a Mary Sue.
True.
And we got off topic. Yeah, I know. Yep. We are all off topic.
I think honestly we said all we need to say about how we get our writing system, because I mean, writing, like I said, that varies between person to person. And I think we said all we need to say.
Okay. Well, I know I just said one last thing, but one last thing to those of you who are reading Mystical Awakening online or are following me. I am working on the next chapter, but I had to actually go back and backtrack because, one, this is more so on topic. When I wrote Mal, I decided that I was not going to do any kind of legwork beforehand. I was going to write Mal as I go along. And I kind of ran into a point where I need to actually, I need to stop and make sure that I have the story, have not so much the story straight, but I had a whole bunch of bosses that were in the story that I fought, that the main characters fought them, won against them. And I need to make sure that I have the items and equipment that they got from those fights and make sure I have it down correctly for future works. So that's where I am with that. I'm almost done. Once I'm done with that, the next chapter will come out.
Okay. And since we're on the topic of talking about stories, my story is not on hiatus. I don't know why Royal Road wants to say that my story is on hiatus, but I am not on hiatus. I'm actually working on the new chapter, so I'm not on hiatus. Hopefully it should be coming soon. I'm just trying to wait till my job slows up because I am a priest. Well, I teach at preschool, so summer's coming, so I'll have a lot more time to write.
Yeah, I still think that you might want to consider posting somewhere else just because Royal Road is kind of a pain in the butt to use.
I might do Webhead instead. I'm going to do my last overhaul of the story. I actually might start planning it out more, but I might just go ahead and go to Webhead instead because it's a lot less stressful. And I feel like I have more, There's not a lot of wait time in between me having to publish a new story, because what they have is that you have to publish your story And then you wait, like, I think you wait like 24 hours or something like that. And then they tell you whether or not your story has been greenlit.
That's kind of cool, but I feel like that's kind of overdoing it.
So, all right, people.
All right, so it's time for that shameless self-promotion again. So, again, I'm Angel Vaughn. You can follow me on Twitch, and then you can follow me on Wattpad at find me at Vasil Park, VASYL space PARK. You can go to Amazon to find my book, Immortal Presage, and you can find me on mysticarchives.wordpress.com.
And I'm Jay Grimm. You could find me on Royal Road Legends, My Story Reign, and also soon to be on Wattpad.
All right.
So be on the lookout.
Yeah, we still need to finish our other book that we started together.
No, you wait until like the end to be like, yeah, we need to work on that book. I know we need to.
Yeah, I know. That was on purpose.
Oh, you would be funny. Yeah, I know. We should, because, you know, if you don't bring it up, I'm a serial procrastinator. All right, people.
All right. Thanks for your time.
Bye.
Bye.